flip my wife's boat.
Hold it, hold it. Let's find where we are here. Right, everybody, we can start again. Yeah? Okay, we started last week about Boira Bekeli, using a Keli to do Boira with. So we said the reason why it's not allowed, is because it's not Derech Achila. Normal way of eating is not to use a specialized instrument. So a specialized instrument is done long before you eat. It's not normal to come to the table and use a sieve. A sieve is a natural process which is done in the kitchen or beforehand. Yeah, it's not done at the time of eating. And the whole heta of boira, which we're doing, you take the good from the bad, use your hand and eat straight away, is based on the fact that Derech Achila is mutter, something which is the way of eating is allowed. It's not the way of eating, you can't do it. So we spoke about various different kalim. What did we mention last week? A sieve, a perforated spoon. We've got these salad spoons sometimes, yeah, which have got holes in. What you do is you put them in the mosh, you've got corn salad full of juice. So you put this spoon in, you lift up the spoon, and the juice drains out. That is a specialised kali. That should not be used on Shabbos. Besides that, it's also got a problem the soda is going away from over. You've got the liquid that drops down. That's also no good. The psoilus is a bad stuff. It's running down. That also one shouldn't... another reason not to use it. And we spoke about using a peeler. And we said a peeler, many poskim hold one should not use a peeler on Shabbos. Because, yeah, you can use a knife, but we shouldn't use a peeler. And I also mentioned last week, very important, that the chayra, even though a knife, a fork, and a spoon are not normally regarded as specialized instruments, they're normal instruments which are an extension of your hand. It's just a more convenient way of taking the food. You've got sort of a Canadian soup. If you don't want to stick your hand in the soup and pull the Canadian out, it's not very nice, not very polite to do that. So you use a fork, hopefully. Yeah, it's hot. So you're doing it for convenience. You're using a knife, fork, or spoon. But you could just as well do that with your hand. Then that's called an extension of your hand. But it's important to know this. That's not always the case. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but a spoon is generally an extension of your hand. Sometimes a spoon can be looked at as a keli. Lamosh, you've got cream on top of your soup, on top of your milk. And you want to take cream on top of your soup, it's not a very good sign. You've got cream on, what do you call it, on top of your milk, and you want to take the cream off the milk. So you take a spoon and you move that off. That is a specialized instrument, because in that case there, you couldn't do it another way. You could take it with your hands. It'll just, the whole thing will crumble. There's nothing. The Mishmur says that. That's awesome. So there, yeah. Yeah. So there, the spoon is much worse. Yeah. There, the spoon, you can't look at it just an extension of your hands. There, the spoon is called a keli. And then, even though it's not a keli, it's not a designated keli, but any keli is awesome midrabonon if it's a keli. If you couldn't do it without that keli, that's a problem to do. So generally, a knife, fork, and spoon is not a problem, but it can be if that's the case of you couldn't do without it. That's what we said last week.
Ice cream scoop, Charles? Are you asking
me? No. You could take it with your hand. It's not very polite, but you could take it out with your hand. I mean, your wife wouldn't be very happy, I don't think. I also wouldn't be very happy to eat it. But you could really put a glove on. You could take it out with your glove.
Not with boira.
Yeah.
It's a specialised case.
Yeah, but we're talking about boira. We're talking about separate, yeah?
Specialised case.
Yeah, but
it's
something
else. Right, that's what specialised case we're talking about is when you're doing a mice with boira with it. The marshal peeler is a specialised case when you're doing boira. There is an interesting thing, I've never seen this around myself, but there are people who do this. They put in the salt cellar some rice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask anyone does that. Oh, you do?
Yes.
It's supposed to what? So take away the moisture?
Correct.
So the question. Clogging. What?
It stops the holes clogging up.
It stops the holes clogging up. And so that was a good charla that I want a bit of salt in my soup. So I pour the salt cellar, and what happens is now the rice gets held back in the salt cellar, it doesn't go through the holes. So it's boira. You're not using the holes on the top of this lid are acting like a sieve in the inverted commas to stop. What? No, I don't think so. Maybe it depends. I'm not sure if it's only right at the end. Is it right at the end? I'm not sure. I'm not convinced. Could be. It's a big thing. It might be floating on top. You pour loads of it on top. It could be on top as well. So when you pour your salt cellar, the rice gets trapped in. And therefore, if the chayra in smore, it should be a problem. Many poskim do hold it's okay. I'm not saying everyone holds okay. Let me just see if I can find it over here. What? The reason why it's not so posh why it's mutter. The reason why the poskim do say it's mutter, if it's mutter, is because you're not machab to do brera at all here. Your kavana is just to stop the moisture getting affecting the thing. It's incidental. It's a chiddush. Even though it's a psik resha, but in brera, what? No, that what you want to stay in. You're not wanting to stay in to separate. You don't want to separate the rice from there. The reason why you're doing it is the rice is in there to stop the moisture. It happens to be you have to leave it in there the whole time to stop the moisture accumulating. But now that you're pouring out, you're not interested in doing an ice of boiler. You're not trying to set. Yeah, it's interesting. I think the kash is better than the terrace. That's the truth.
Still got salt left inside.
Not doing
ice of
boiler at all because you've still got salt left inside.
What do you mean? No, but you don't want the rice to come through. You don't, when you pour your salt cellar, so if you pour it like this, the rice should come through. You don't want your rice in your soup, do you? So? Do you want your rice to come out into your soup? I don't think so, Pesa. You don't want it. So now, you want that to hold back the rice. You're doing that to hold back the rice. You want that cellar to hold back the rice. Right. So that's what a lot of people say. You're not interested in that at all. You're not machaber. That's the poskim or makel are makel because they say you're not machaber. I just want to find you who they are. Number five. I can't seem to find it here. Oh, here we are. That's a good one. Moshe finds it. Moshe said it was osotaka. And Rosh Hashanah is also a bit machaber. Yeah, those two are machaber. Others are makel. I'm saying the mice of those who do it have got somewhere to be so machaber.
What about the tent?
Oh, I'll come to that also, hopefully, yeah. The other thing is, as well, what else is there besides over here? Salt set with rice in. A tea bag is also, I'm not going any attain a tea bag on Shabbos. I'm not speaking about a tea bag of some bishels. Let's ignore the aspect of bishel on Shabbos, yeah? Let's say I don't know if you get these herb teas. Can you get herb teas?
Yeah.
Cold? Can you have them cold?
Yeah,
you can. You can do anything. Now, in today's world, you can do anything almost. So let's say you've got a cold tea bag in water, and you want to get some herb tea. Now, listen, now you want to take out the tea bag, and you want the juice to drain out.
Yeah.
Now here you must realize what's going on. This tea bag, l'chor, is a kedi. It's a cloth, so I don't know what it's made out of, but what happens is the tea leaves get stuck in there, and the juice drains out. So that's yesh lodin. I mean, also, not machabim for that when you pick it up. But there, the poskim say the best thing to do in that case is to put a spoon underneath the tea bag, and then lift the tea bag out with the spoon. So then nothing's going to drain out. Even if it does drain out, you're getting nothing out of it whatsoever. It's staying on the spoon. So that's a way to take out, if one has to take out a tea bag on Shabbos. Right, talk about a filter on a tap. It's also interesting, especially this time of year, Pesach. It's topical. Some people put like a sieve, not a sieve, I don't know what it's called, like a nappy liner round the forceps, so that when the water comes through, it's clean. There, the poskim say again, it's no problem whatsoever it is, because the water is basically clean. It's a chumra ba'alma that a person is putting this thing on. It's not really doing anything. And therefore, mitzav that, it's not a problem of Borobakeli. There was in America a few years ago a scare. They had to lure him in the water, actually. What?
They have it all year round. They have it on the taps. My talk tells me they have like, it built into the taps.
Yeah, but that could be a...
Because
of
the insects.
Yeah, but is that standard? No, Lamarcia, they wouldn't have it on. Would they see the insects in the water?
Possibly.
There was a scare a few years ago, Lamarcia, the insects were quite big. So there, I was quite a bit scared. The knife might be pleasant to have water with insects in it. So then, there you're putting on the thing on the forceps, so mummy, stop it. That could be much worse. What we do on Pesach is the chumra of alma, therefore that's the maestro, not a problem. Yeah, that's okay to do.
Whatever's moving, that's the one we're aware
of. What, my friend? What
you want?
Yeah, but using Kaylee. You're right. That's what I'm telling you. You're using a keli. You're quite right. It's oichel b'tovah soles. The good point where he says it's oichel b'tovah soles, but the problem is you're using a keli. It doesn't help. You can have the best oichel, the best soles. That's what I said. Exactly. The sim could be the same thing. You can have oichel coming through. That's what you want. And you're eating it straight away. It doesn't make a difference. The maestro, you're using a specialized instrument. You're using a keli, which you can't do without. Therefore, that's the problem of boira on Shabbos. That's boira b'keli. I'm just trying to think what else there is with a keli. That's more or less covered the chalokim of a keli.
Or someone in
the kettle
when the little bits
come out. Yeah, that's also an interesting one. That's very similar to the rice thing they say. It could be very similar. You're not interested in doing a maisa brera. You know what? Let me think about that one. It's a good point. They've got it in tea. There's tea. What's it called? These teapots. Sometimes you've got the. It's better than I'll try and go through that. It's a strainer. So is that allowed to be used or not? That's an interesting question, really. Yeah. No, even not. Yeah, but even not a kelim yuchad is also drabon. Even if it's not a specialized. Yeah, it's even worse this case. It's a kelim yuchad. It's even worse this case, yeah. It's even worse. I thought you were doing a meister breder. Yeah, shlodom. Yeah, that's also a good question. A very good point, actually. And mostly in a sink, what happens is you've got your Rice Krispies with milk in. I should work for Kellogg's, really. I should. Let's say you've got your Rice Krispies with milk in, and it's finished. You don't want any more. So you want to go to the sink and pour it down the sink. The chayra is quite right. That's the problem with the boy of a kelim, because what's happening is that kelim is separating the milk from the solid. What happens is you take the solid and then you pour it in the glass. So the answer to that is that's mutter, because the whole lot is psoilus. Everything is rubbish there. Yeah, the whole lot there is psoilus. The issa of boira is when you've got good and bad. You want to separate the good from the bad. If everything is bad, you're throwing the whole lot away, then there's no issa of boira anymore. So now actually you can use these six strainers that are allowed to be used on Shabbos. That's not a problem, because it's going out. Everything's so the whole lot's called psoilus. It's just a more convenient way.
You don't block your pipes.
Yeah. Okay, now let's come to the next part. This is a very big topic, this one over here, of somach l'suda. The last thing, condition you need for boira is that it must be near to the mealtime. Again, this heter is based on that it's called derech achile. It's a normal way of eating is before you eat, you chew something. That's normal. Whereas if you do it a long time beforehand, that's not derech achile, that's why it's not allowed. The Bi'al Halacha says this rule of you must take somach l'suda applies to proper psoilus, that means you've got stones, let's say, and some nuts, and it applies to when you've got oichel from oichel. So you've got a fruit bowl, apples, oranges, peaches, all good stuff there, really, but you just want the apples. The same rules apply, it all has to be done with somach l'suda. Yeah? So you need to take it somach l'suda. Now, what is called somach l'suda? What's called near the mealtime? What is the definition? The answer to that is there's no definite answer to this, I must tell you. There's no clear-cut time period how long it takes. Lemosh, let's say I want to prepare something. I'm a very slow worker. So for me, it might take an hour to prepare something. Lemosh, let's say I want to make?
Egg and onion.
Egg and onion. Okay, listen, I'm going to make egg and onion. So let's forget about toichen. Let's talk about boira only. What's the boira? Peeling is the boira. So I've got to peel egg and I've got to peel the onions. So I want to make that on Shabbos. So now, if I'm making for one person, it's not going to take very long to make. If I make for 20 people, obviously it's going to take longer. If I'm an experienced, my wife, or a woman, is much more experienced, she'll probably do it much quicker. Someone who's not so experienced will take much longer. It's all relative to the person who's doing it and what the circumstances are, how many people you're catering for. Somach l'suda, it's very hard to give, so that's why you can't really give a fixed time. It's relative to the individual and relative to the food that you're making. But it must be near to the time of the usage of the item. That means, for example, let's say I want to eat at 11:30. It normally takes me, and you can't be bang on, it's impossible to know how long it takes exactly. You know that, say, roughly it takes between 20 and 30 minutes to prepare the meal. So about 11 o'clock, somewhere around there, you can start preparing the meal, what's needed to be done. That's allowed, because that's the normal amount of time it takes me to prepare for a meal. I don't have to go straight from when I finish straight and start eating straight away. It has to be normal, what a normal person does. But what you mustn't do is you mustn't have like a planned interruption. That means I can't say, at 11, at quarter to 11, I want to prepare the meal, do everything I want to do, and then I want to go for a walk for 5 minutes around the block. That is no connection to the meal, that walk. And therefore, this walk is not considered an extension of the meal time. It's not part of the meal. And therefore, I've got no right to do another activity which has got no connection to the meal. That's not called somach l'suda.
I don't want to start the meal straight away.
Then you can't prepare it. It's very good. You've got no one said to start the meal straight away, but you can't prepare it. A woman wants to go to shul, for example, Shabbos morning. So she wants to have, when the husband, when you come home, she wants to be able to start the meal straight away. I understand it, but you don't want to wait long enough, stupid as it is. You want to start straight away. So she wants to set the table, for example. You've got all your knives, forks, and cutlery all mixed together, and you want to set the table on Shabbos before she goes to shul. That's not a heter. That's not near the time of using it. You're going to use the cutlery when you eat your meal. The fact that she wants to go to shul and daven and then come home and start straight away, that's not called somach l'suda. That is not allowed to be done. Yeah, well, yeah, come, keep coming.
Maybe you should be
there. Hilda's Burry doesn't help you that. Burry doesn't go short. It's a good point.
No, it's a
There's no problem over
there. If you come home and your wife's all prepared, which means you're going to start the season, then you said, you know, I want to go with you to a kiddush, you can't do that.
You can do that. That's an important point. Let's say, a very important point as well, let's say you prepare. You've got a lot of visitors coming. So let's just come back. You've got a lot of visitors coming for your meal. So that's going to take you a long time to prepare. You've got a long time to prepare. So whatever's normal to prepare for, you have to prepare for in that time. Yeah, let's say you come home, and then the person, the wife says, you know what, I've decided I want a bit of a rest. So when you planned it, when you prepared it, it was prepared in the right intention, even though later you decide to do something different, that's not a problem. It has to be when you do the act of boira, it has to be at the time you're doing the act of boira, you're fitting into this slot of somaka sura. If later you change for another reason, that's okay. The other way around also works. Let's say someone does an act of boira, and he did a boira, and he says, someone tells you, no, you just did boira. And I said, oh, you're right, you know, I didn't realize. I'm going to use it straight away. That won't help you either. It has to be at the time you do the action, it has to fit into somak asura. You must be doing it when you do the selection. At that time then, it must be then it's being done for an immediate use.
If you're doing it, you're going to take your dish or something, why don't you care for anything until she comes home?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I'm not saying you're not always out of it. What we're saying now, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Quite right. Don't you? Quite right. Right. I'm not changing. I'm not saying that. First of all, there are ways to sort out the meal beforehand in a way, because I will come to this as an atheist. But the chol is quite right. That's what's going to come out. You can't make a positive interruption because of what you're going to do. Who are these? Someone's got visitors coming to the house. For example, let's say you've got visitors who are staying by your house, and you know they're eating somewhere else for Shabbos lunch. But they're going to come back after Shabbos lunch, and they're going to go to their room and rest in their room. So you want to prepare them a bowl of fruit. You want them to have in their room a bowl of fruit. So the moshul, you know they've gone out at 11:30 for the meal. It could be by 12:30, 1 o'clock, they're coming back. So from any time it takes you, let's say it takes you 20 minutes to prepare the fruit bowl. So from the time that you think they might possibly come back, any time from then onwards, let's say you think 1 o'clock, so 20 minutes or so before 1 o'clock, you can start preparing the fruit bowl. Now, in your fruit bowl, you're going to put an apple, an orange, a peach, a pear, pineapple, everything in there, because it's presentable to them. You don't know what they're going to take. Every bit you put in there is a possibility they might use one of them. You don't know what. That's also allowed. Since when you're selecting it, it's a possibility that each one of this item, there's a possibility each one, this is the one I might use. You don't know. That's also allowed to be prepared for the meal. That's their sudha. The sudha doesn't have to be mamish a whole meal. If their fruit bowl that you're going to present to them, there's a possibility from there they're going to take something. That's also allowed to be done. It comes out, they go to bed, they're very tired, they want to go straight to bed, they're not eating anything, no problem. When you selected it, it was mutter to select. Even if they don't eat it at the end of the day, there's no problem whatsoever. Well, no. When, if they're eating it, they're taking it, they're eating straight away, there's no boira, because they're using it straight away. So if they use it straight away, there's no problem with boira. So all this preparation will manage to depend. A caterer is preparing for a big simcha, he's preparing for a big kiddush or whatever it is. He's got a few hours in advance to do it. I must say, it's an interesting thing, but to prepare for a kiddush a long time in advance, because you want a daven, for example, that lechol is not right. Yeah, you want to prepare the kiddush for, you make a kiddush in Shabbos afternoon, Shabbos morning, after daven, it's 11:30, people are going to start coming in, but you don't want, you have to prepare it beforehand. So you get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, you start preparing everything, that's a serious problem, lechol. Because that's got no connection. The fact that you want to go to shul again afterwards is not a heta in Hilchos Boira. Yeah? Yeah.
If you realize you've done
boira,
are you allowed to use the
food? No, it doesn't help you. It's unfortunate. A person once has done... That's the way I have to speak about those ones. What happens if someone's over... It's a boira. What happens to that food? That's an interesting question. The maisa, that's what I'm saying.
If the food would be edible, it's a boira.
He's asking a good question. You got a fruit bowl and someone did an issa, he picked out a fruit by mistake, he picked out a fruit to eat for 2 hours' time. He's done issa boira. You're right, all the fruits are edible to eat. That's not so simple, the man. He's done issa boira. It could be Chazal made a kanas.
Somebody else could probably do that
to eat it. Yeah, okay, that's that is a separate shiur. There's a whole shiur on that. The maaser, someone does something.
Are you
there
from the
maaser? Yeah, but it could be a done, but it has to be there. The maaser, Chazal made a kanas on what you've done. Yeah, that's an interesting shiur. You have to, that's an interesting point. Let me make a quick summary because of what we said. We spoke about, we finished off about Boira Bakeli, and we said that some people are makel, the moshel in these, what's it called, this rice, the salt cellar with rice inside. It's hard to know why. Pashtun should be a problem. You're doing Boira Bakeli. The lid with the holes in is holding back the rice. So it should really be broiler okay. The justification of those who say it is okay is that you're not intending to do Maaseh Broiler. You're intending just for the moisture to be held in. You're not intending at all for the idea that it does a Maaseh Broiler, and that's why people who are lenient hold out that's what you can be soimach on. Talk about a tea bag, letting a tea bag drain out is not so simple. And then we spoke about Somach HaSudah. Somach HaSudah means it has to be in the use that you want to use it for. The use of that item, you can prepare it for that use, but you mustn't make a big gap in between that time. Okay.
Yeah. Now, if you go to the open for your child, or domestic child,